Radio Pleine Lune, donc bonjour, bonjour sur 101.4 MHz et bonjour à vous toutes qui êtes venues dans ce studio. Il y a beaucoup de monde ce soir dans ce studio, beaucoup de monde, beaucoup de pays, puisque nous recevons ce soir une femme indienne, une femme yougoslave et une femme d'Afrique du Sud qui sont venues à Genève invitées par Isis. Isis, c'est un centre de documentation féministe qui fonctionne à Genève et internationalement depuis quelques années. Et depuis 3 ans, elles ont mis sur pied ce qu'elles appellent le cross-cultural exchange, un échange transculturel. Alors ça consiste à faire venir des femmes de partout du monde, de femmes qui travaillent à la base dans des groupes de femmes, de les faire venir à Genève se rencontrer et ensuite toutes ces femmes vont partir dans d'autres pays du monde et travailler dans un centre de femmes, dans un groupe de femmes qui fait plus ou moins le même genre de travail, de pratique, plus ou moins le même genre de pratique qu'elles ont dans leur pays d'origine et elles resteront 3 mois dans ces pays. Alors c'est un programme très intéressant parce que grâce à leurs contacts, elles arrivent à avoir assez de fric pour faire venir des femmes du tiers-monde. Et c'est très intéressant parce qu'en général, dans ce genre de réseaux internationaux, ce sont des femmes des pays riches qui peuvent se déplacer parce qu'elles ont du fric. Et on voit très rarement des femmes des pays dits sous-développés, des femmes des pays dits du tiers-monde. Alors ce soir, on est vraiment très contentes. Alors malheureusement, c'est que bien entendu la langue commune entre tous ces pays, c'est le plus souvent l'anglais et c'est pourquoi cette interview qui va être menée par Mary, notre journaliste invitée, se déroulera en anglais. Et tout d'abord, pour se mettre dans le bain, écoutons un peu Myriam Makeba.
Good evening. Well, we're going to go in English now, but slowly, so that everybody can understand. First of all, I'm going to ask each of the women to introduce herself and to tell us what country she comes from.
I'm Shama, I'm from India.
I'm Toby, I'm from South Africa.
Leipa from Yugoslavia.
Okay, so the three of you are here on an orientation program which lasts a month in Geneva before going on to other health centers in other countries. Now, are you health workers?
Well, I'm a doctor, so I'm very much part of the health system.
And you're also part of a feminist organization?
Oh, yes. I'm a member of a feminist group called the Stri Shakti Sangatana in Hyderabad, which is a feminist group. And one of our projects was on the health, which meant rewriting, translating our bodies ourselves.
Okay. Tembi, are you a health worker?
Yes, I am. I was trained as a nurse and worked as a health educator before I joined a church-based organization in Soweto.
Mm-hmm. And you heard about the exchange through a feminist organization?
Yes, I did. Through working with women's organizations.
I see. And
well, actually, I'm unemployed. That's about one of the typical situations of women of my age of 30, let's say, in Belgrade. I come from Belgrade. But the thing is that we've been trying to get women together in Belgrade in different ways. And one of the ways we did is that we had a group of women talking about our own life problems in general first, and then it came up at the end that we were talking mostly about mother-daughter relationship, which was, in fact, the group was formed on that basis.
I see.
I finished psychology, if that is important.
You're a psychologist. Okay. Do you think that in each of your countries, health matters are feminist matters? I mean, women's health, reproduction matters, and so on.
Well, if I could talk about India, women's health is mainly viewed from a reproduction function. So a lot of programs, government programs, are being introduced for mother and child, for a pregnant woman, or a postnatal follow-up. And a few programs which come part of population control under the family welfare. Earlier it was called the family planning, and which became very unpopular, now it's called the family welfare. So women are again included into that. But as such, health and women are not at all perceived as from the feminist point of view. It is more the reproductive part. And also there are various food supplementary programs. It's again the reproductive part that has been emphasized, not from the feminist point. But
okay. Tenvi, would you like to say something about health as a feminist issue?
Yes, but I would say that not in the feminist issue as seen in the first world, if you like. Women happen to be the most consumers of health services anyway, because they are the people who use the services of health, of the health services provided in a community, because they are the members of the families who are responsible for their husbands, their kids, and everybody else. And also, even in the health working profession, women constitute about 90% of hospital or any other health institution workers, so that their health is, for development workers like myself, an important issue, even though not in a typical feminist sense, as you would see it.
I see.
Well, I can say that we have a little bit different situation, because as far as the revolution went on and we have been solving all the most important questions, It seems like we solved everything. But anyway, one of the things was that we developed, let's say, pretty good, for that time it was a pretty good institution, very many institutions for health, and on the community base, on the city base, on many different levels. So we ambulances and hospitals and home, primary health care and so on. So it seems like that now... it's not anymore acute question, because that's something which has already been done. So, in fact, what I want to say is that it's definitely not seen as a feminist issue. It was sometimes before seen as an important issue which a country which is developing to be a socialist country must solve. And in that way, lots of things has been done, but not definitely as a feminist issue.
I see.
Bien, je vais essayer de traduire très très brièvement ce qui a été dit. La question, c'était de savoir si dans les pays d'où viennent les participantes, la question de la santé est un problème féministe, est un issue féministe, comme on dit. Alors, la femme de l'Inde a répondu que effectivement le problème de la santé était crucial en Inde, mais c'était pas du tout vu sous le point de vue féministe, c'était vu sur le point de vue de la capacité reproductive, et donc c'était pas c'était pas du point de vue des femmes. En Afrique du Sud, il semble aussi que c'est la même situation. C'est bien sûr les femmes qui sont le plus concernées par le système de la santé, parce que c'est elles qui s'occupent surtout des enfants et de la maison et du mari et des hommes et de tout le monde. Dans les hôpitaux aussi, c'est presque que des femmes qui travaillent, mais là aussi le problème n'est pas vu d'un point de vue féministe. Quant à la Yougoslavie, il semble que tout va bien puisque la révolution socialiste a déjà déferlé, mais même s'il y a une infrastructure médicale très au point, il semble aussi que les femmes ne soient pas tout à fait heureuses.
I think Shyama would like to add something.
Yeah, I wanted to say that from my previous talk, it almost felt that the women are being sort of, you know, are getting some attention from the medical. But it's mainly because in India, in spite of so much of development and industrialization, the women's health has not been taken care. The maternal mortality is very high. The infant mortality is very high. So the doctors got very worried, the scientists got very worried, and they felt something has to be done. So the best thing was to dump a few things on women and tell, here, we are giving you health, we are going to look after your babies, we are going to dump iron under into your mouths, we are going to give pills into you. And that's how women are being included into programs, not that they are worried about women or they feel women have not been able to reach the medical system or get a human treatment in the medical setup.
Well, we might come back to that subject later on. Now, as far as concerns the program you're following in Geneva, it's a program which has really been conceived by women from developed countries. Do you think it corresponds to your needs? Do you think it's really pertinent or not?
Well, it's a very big question, because one thing is when we are sitting at home and working in whatever fields or little groups or little corners, the whole idea starts to look very distant, and one loses a lot of courage and sort of desire, or the image or goal one is working towards. And this whole program, meeting together, one realizes there is so much in common all of us are going through. And we get so much of energy and stimulation from each other. And that itself gives us a lot more, you know, desire to go back, energy, and go back and get back to our same situations and pick up and work.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that, Tembi?
Yes, I do. I think actually what is positive about this is the fact that ISIS did a lot of research before starting this kind of exchange. They have the material that covers all issues in all areas, in all countries, if you like. So that, and this is the third of their exchange program. So I think with everyone, things get to improve. So as Shama puts it, coming together and meeting other people who are working in the same field as you, though they come from other parts of the world, makes a hell of a difference than when you work with the usual people at home sharing the same difficulties with hardly enough resources to solve those problems. So the idea of coming together here, even before we go to the receiving groups, is a fantastic and a very useful one for all of us.
Well, I don't even know if that question is something that how I could say, because they just open up a space for us, in fact, and we were the one who were filling up the space, and so I don't know if I can answer if it was good enough for us or not, but definitely it was one of the best experiences I ever had. It was fantastic being together with women for 3, 4, 5 weeks, which I never managed in my life in 30 years before, and I just couldn't even sleep the first days because it was so many things happening, and we've been discovering so many different dimensions of being together, of singing together, of learning from each other together, because in fact we do learn much, much more when we have all these different emotional communication, which we do have all the time during the day, especially the first 2 weeks when we were together in France. So definitely it's one of the very radical things what ISIS is doing, is having this, developing this network of women being from all different countries of the world, and this exchange of the knowledge which we do have now is just something which is politically and personally and socially for me a fantastic thing.
Alors la question était de savoir si le programme mis sur pied par ISIS sur les thèmes de la santé était pertinent pour ces femmes venant du monde entier, dans la mesure où ce programme a été créé par des femmes qui viennent des pays développés pour lesquels peut-être le problème de la santé se pose différemment. Alors toutes les parties, les trois femmes de l'Inde, d'Afrique du Sud et de Yougoslavie ont surtout relevé le fait, la richesse incroyable qu'il y a d'être ensemble, de se rencontrer, de voir que les problèmes qu'on rencontre dans son pays sont partagés par d'autres femmes dans d'autres coins du monde, et aussi de pouvoir partager une chaleur, une affectivité, des moments d'échange qui les ont beaucoup, beaucoup énergisés.
Eu não mudo de opinião. Daqui do morro eu não saio, não. Daqui do morro eu não saio, não. Se não tem água, eu furo um poço. Se não tem carne, eu compro um osso e ponho na sopa. Estou pertinho do céu. Podem
Well, we've just been saying that one of the most important aspects for the participants in this orientation program is the exchange they've had amongst themselves. Now, that makes me think of something. In fact, a lot of the sort of medicine and health cure that we know here in developed countries was exported into third world countries by the colonialism. And now we, the feminists, seem to be recolonializing in health matters. That is, we have people from the third world country coming over to Switzerland, and we talk to them about herbal medicine and about massages. Has that a sense to itself? Or are we trying to teach things that we've already pushed out of their countries in the origin? Shyama.
Well, I wouldn't say that massages or the traditional medicine has been pushed out in the sense it has been equally pushed out in all the countries. Luckily, or say unluckily, we still have some amount in certain pockets of our country. It only means that we will have to go back to these places and really get the knowledge out and write it down and document it. That's most important. The tradition of medicine, of the traditional medicine in India, hasn't been the documented type, and there's also a tradition where it's passed on from father to son, mother to daughter. And we'll have to even break through this wall, since it is not given out of the family, out of the situation. And that's very, very important. But these basic things which we have been sort of hearing here is part of our lives. The massages are part of our lives. Eating fresh fruit, you just walk out and you pick something and eat. That's nothing really. One thinks about it twice. It's pity we have to hear again from a developed country how to eat. It is part of our lives in certain ways.
Well, I can say from some other point of view, I think it's always good to be reminded, and I understood it in some other way, that it's also a political point. We are against medical institution, and in fact what we do, being against medical institution as women working in health or, you know, feminists or whatever, however we say it in words, that means that there is many alternative ways how we can heal each other and heal other people. And I think from that point of view, I can say it's okay, always, it's always okay to mention once more time that there is many different other ways of traditional or whatever alternative or however health ways to heal yourself, to so you can do it yourself, so you don't have to depend on the medical institution, which is definitely something which is not going only in developed countries but in all the other countries is becoming more and more. So we have to have our own tools how to escape that if we cannot be so strong to get together and destroy that institution itself.
And Tembi, how is traditional medicine in Africa?
Yeah, I would say like in India's case, we thank God we never completely threw it away. It has been applicable, especially in the rural communities. And what is happening now is actually demystifying what the medical professionals have been trying to make a myth around them, the health of the women. So it's saying to the women that they can look after themselves and they can use the resources available to them without having to depend on the trained health professional. So it is nothing new to us, especially from the African continent, to talk about traditional medicine. It's just a question, like Lebab puts it, of re-intensifying what we had and de-learning maybe some of the...
Yeah, definitely. The learning and getting to know that medicine is part of social control, the way of how they're controlling us, our bodies and the whole life from the birth to death. So I think from that point, if you look at it from that point of view politically, then there is always a reason why to talk about the alternative of traditional medicine, and we keep forgetting it, in fact.
And also I think there is a fear that now there's a whole trend to go back to everything, go back to the tradition, go back to your traditional method, go back to your ethnic clothes. I mean, in India, you see every woman walking with ethnic clothes. Now the Western clothes are getting out. Similarly, I would only like to sort of make a note is we should dig up traditional medicine, our whole tradition, but be a little critical about it. Take what is necessary, yes, not yes. over-glorify it, and yeah. throw the, you know, we cannot refute what there are certain developments the science has brought us. Take the good of it and take good from the traditional and join them together.
Well, that brings me to the question that I was going to ask you now. Let's say, I'll put it a little differently. Do you think that your women's group in your countries are capable of working on this kind of subject, the mixture between traditional and modern medicine?
Well, I wouldn't be really able to give you an answer at the moment because we have often talked about doing a study on the traditional herbal medicine, but we haven't been able to get the resources and the energy and the people together to take up this as a project or as a study. But as I understand, there are not need not be only women's groups. There are a lot of alternate voluntary groups in India who are taking up this very seriously. Things like massages are being part of their primary health care, taking up magnetotherapy. They are taking in herbal therapy. So it's starting, let's say that.
Well, I have to add up a whole new dimension of psychiatry because what's happening in institutional psychiatry is that there are all these new therapies, psychotherapy, transactional therapy, and this and this and that, and all these new tranquilizers who are just overflowing all the market, you know, every psychiatric hospital. And what is happening, what we are trying to do, and that's even more difficult for us now, at least in my country, is that try to open up a new dimension that our lives can be interpreted in totally different way. That means from the social way, or let's say from feministic way, that what's happening with us, with our mothers, with our families, it doesn't really have to be interpreted in psychoanalytic or any other theory, which is all done by males. All that we learn in our university is done from the male point of view. So that's one of the even more difficult points for us, for example, because let's say in our hospitals, if a woman has some of the infections, the doctor usually gives the medicine, but also says you can have a chamomile or this or that douche, or you can use garlic, or you can use some of other things, yogurt and so on. They always have it parallelly, both of the things. So in fact, there is still this tradition is still kept on also in an institution. So in this, but in psychiatry, it's still, as far as I can see, it's even more difficult to get rid of this interpretation, which really destroys the way that you can go over and have your life changed. Mm-hmm.